the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I suppose the choice of readings this morning, we could have had one from Philemon all about slavery. That would have been interesting. Then we've got the classic one from Jesus about carrying the cross. But I thought it'd be good just to look at Jeremiah. And we've got some pictures this morning, haven't we? Some work, Darren, hopefully. So Darren's going to do one. Oh, look at that. So we're going to look at the book of Jeremiah. That sounds terribly dull and boring. You look at it like that, it's dreadful, really, the words on the page. You look at this book of Jeremiah, it's hard work. It's one of the longest, I think it is the longest book of the prophets. It's full of texts and prose, and it's quite complicated. But when you look at his life, he was fascinating. So we're going to hear some really interesting things about Jeremiah, which I hope you will find riveting. And it's interesting to think that when Jesus spoke, Jesus would have been going to church, listening to Jeremiah most Sundays, because he's the second most important prophet. He's an important prophet in Islam, but second most important prophet in Judaism, really important to us. Jesus would have listened to Jeremiah a lot. So all the things that Jesus taught were influenced by this chap, Jeremiah, who preached over 600 years before Jesus was born. But he was really, really still very important, really important when Jesus became, you know, a young man and started his ministry. And Jesus actually took some things off Jeremiah and used them himself, which I think we'll see as we go through looking at Jeremiah today. The first thing is, next slide, is, what's this a picture of there on the bottom? Does anybody know? What's it a picture of? It's a little baby, now. We can see these pictures now because we go to the hospital and they do all these things, and you can see those. You can even tell whether little boys or girls now. And did you see on the telly there was someone having a gender revealing party? Where was that? What program was that on? Someone was in America now. They have a gender revealing party. You get all your friends round. They have a gender revealing party. In Jeremiah, it says this, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God telling Jeremiah, I knew you when you were just being formed. They didn't have any of these pictures in those days. But that's what God said to Jeremiah. And he said he knew you, and he knew all about Jeremiah. He knew people intimately. Let's have our next slide, please, Darren. So a little few facts about him. He was the son of a priest. He was born in a place near Jerusalem called Anathoth. And this is really sad. He was told, he believed that God didn't want him to get married or to have any children. And the reason he thought that was he thought that things were going to get so bad in the land that he didn't want to have any families because it was going to be horrible. Jeremiah believed that things were really going to go badly for his country. And so he didn't get married, didn't have any children. Really, really sad. And he spoke for over 40 years. So his ministry went on a long time. Next one. What's that in the background?
Fire.
Fire, yeah? Can you see the fire? Jeremiah said that he felt that God's words were in his heart like a burning fire. He had to speak them. He had to say the things he said, even though, and this is interesting, he didn't really want to speak them at all. He, the last thing he wanted was to be a prophet and have to say the things that he said. He felt like they were exploding inside him. He had to say the stuff that he said. So he said, God's words were in his heart like a burning fire. So the next little slide is an interesting one. That's a picture in the Sistine Chapel by Michelangelo of Jeremiah. Now, what would you say about Jeremiah there? What would you say is he looks like? Does he look? He looks sad. He looks sad. He's got his hands here. And he's like this. And he's often called the weeping prophet. He wrote a book, he attributed a book to him called Lamentations, which is, it's all really sad stuff. He felt like it was, because he had to say things that people didn't want to hear. And he had to tell them terribly sad things about the country. So he's often called the weeping prophet. Because he didn't want to be a prophet, didn't want to say the things he said, but he felt that God's word was in his heart, and he had to just do it. So it's a really quite a sad story in many ways, the story of Jeremiah. And if we have the next slide, He became depressed. Have you ever heard of people who become depressed?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of people become depressed. And only just now, really, are we starting to really take mental illness seriously, I think. You know, it's never really been taken very seriously at all. But I think Jeremiah was quite depressed. He spent a lot of his life in a sort of a dark place. He didn't feel all happy and joyous and bubbly all the time. He's listened to these words and he said, "Why is my pain unending, my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that never fails." He was talking about God there. He said that God, he sometimes felt angry at God. And that's an interesting one. And look what he says. He says, "Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" He, at some stage, he began to regret the day he was born. He felt so miserable and unhappy in what he had to do. And that's an interesting one, really, because sometimes people think, you know, if you come to church and you sing praises to Jesus, that you're always going to feel happy and stuff. And actually, quite a lot of the time, we don't feel happy. And we have to be honest with God. And he was very honest with God and told God exactly how he felt. But he was still faithful, and he still carried on with his ministry. Now, let's just see why he felt so miserable about the things he had to say. Can you see that? What's that there, do you think, on the picture with all the stuff coming out of it? A what? Oh, there's a war in the background, isn't there? There's a war in the background. What are you laughing at?
Tomato soup.
Tomato soup. Well, it could be mushroom soup or chicken soup, but it's not going to be tomato soup. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It's meant to be a pot boiling. And Jeremiah had this vision in his mind of a pot boiling. And he said, "You know what? I see this pot, and it's like an army's going to come and smash our nation." And that was one of the things he really didn't want to have to tell people. He felt that Babylonians in the north were going to come and take over his country. And he saw this pot, and he said, "It's like a pot that's going to flow over the country, and it's going to be really, really bad." And that was one of the reasons why he felt so miserable about having to say things. And he walked around once with a big wooden yoke on his back, and he said, "You know, we're all going to go into captivity." And they use these visual things quite a lot, like we do visual aids sometimes today. That was one of the things he saw. Can we have the next slide, Aaron? And the reason he said that it was going to happen, he said, "Got bad things were going to happen to the country because they've been behaving badly." And he said this is what was wrong. He criticised everything, the government, all sorts of things, but he criticised pride, adultery, oppressing foreigners and the orphans, not looking after orphans and widows, lying. They actually practiced child sacrifice, which is terrible, really. Which is terrible, but they did. And he said, "This is really, really bad." And he wrote a scroll down of all the things that were wrong. And he sent it to the king, and the king chopped the scroll up into little pieces and threw it on the fire. Wouldn't listen. And Jeremiah, what do you think Jeremiah did when he was throwing the scroll on the fire? Any ideas? He wrote another scroll. He wrote another scroll. He did it all again. And the next slide, please, Darren. It's good, this is working, these slides, so this is superb. This is one of the reasons why he felt so miserable in his life. His own relatives conspired against him. Imagine if your brother or your sister went to the police and told them nasty lies about you or tried to get you into trouble. Imagine if your own relatives tried to have you killed. This is the kind of nasty things that he had to put up with. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. At one stage, they got him and they threw him in a big well. And at the bottom of the well, it was all soft mud. And the mud started to cover him up. And he started to sink down in the mud. And he was going to die. And some friends, they got a lot of old clothes. And they threw all the old clothes down the well. And he wrapped them round his body. And then they threw a rope down. And he tied the rope round. And the clothes acted like a sort of cushion. So that they could pull him up out of the mud in the well. So that he got free. So that's a picture. That's a statue of Jeremiah in Rome, by the way. But these are the reasons why he felt he had such a miserable, terrible life. But he carried on saying all the things he had to say. Next slide, Darren. He said, look at the almond trees. And the word for almond in Hebrew means watching. And he says, you know, God watches us. He sees us. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're like. And he said, God knows what you're like. And if you don't behave, it will be really bad for you. Your life won't go well if you don't behave. So he said, God was watching. And the next slide, another little illustration we had, and this one was read to us this morning. And he said, we're like clay in a potter's hands. Have you ever seen a pot being made? A clay pot being made? You've made a clay house. Yeah. You made a clay house on a school trip. Really? You perhaps have to bring that in and show it to us. Yeah? Because what Jeremiah said was, like, I suppose when you got the clay, you fashioned it, you made it. Yeah. What Jeremiah was saying was, God can work with us like that and help us to be better. God can make us into better people. And he said, look, you're living terrible lives, but if you listen to God, he can help you to live better lives. And that's what he was trying to get across. So he was saying they're like clay. Now, I've said some sad things about Jeremiah's life, but we're going to end with some really positive stuff. Because Jeremiah believed that even though we sometimes let God down, and even though we disappoint God, God never gives up on us. Never ever gives up on us. And that God's love is greater than all of our sins and all the things that we do wrong. And he said some beautiful words. In spite of all the sad things that were happening around him, and this is an interesting thing, when all the Babylonians were gathered around the city and they were going to take it all over, Jeremiah bought a field. And that's an amazing thing, because what he was saying was, I'm buying a field because I believe this isn't the end. God's still going to do great things with us. So he bought a field as a sign of his confidence in the future. And he talked to the people. And he said, one day, God's love is so great, you're not going to need it all written down on the scrolls from people like me. God's word will be in your heart. And God's love will be in your heart. And he said this one thing. Next slide, please, Dan. He talked about a new covenant. And Jesus, when he spoke at the Last Supper, he said, this is the new covenant. And it's written in my blood. So that when we take the chalice and we celebrate the Holy Communion, we're thinking back to the words of Jeremiah when he talked about the new covenant, the time when God's love would be in our hearts. So it's quite interesting. I always think that when Jesus in the reading today talked about putting God before our family and all that kind of stuff, I think he's probably thinking about people like Jeremiah, because that's exactly what Jeremiah did, of course. Next slide, God's new covenant. And we're going to finish with that, because it just reminds us that the love of God, no matter how bad things can get, no matter whether we feel happy or sad, no matter whether we let God down or any of those kinds of things, that God's love is so great that his love is written on our hearts. Amen.